Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Pour out your power. Pour out your love. Father, as we listen and study your word and hear the teachings from you, Jesus, in Matthew 6, about what treasures to store up, about not to worry about daily needs, especially our daily needs in the future. A lot of us don't worry about them today, tomorrow, but sometimes we can get really caught up in thinking about 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. But you told us in Matthew 6:33, not to worry about those things, not to be like the heathens and the people that don't know you, that's all they think about all the time. Not to let it consume us, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, we praise you and we thank you for Jesus, we thank you for the promise that you made in John 14 about the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach us all things. And he will remind you and bring to remembrance everything that I have said to you. So Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, teach us, help us to remember these words of Jesus and stick these seeds deep within our hearts. And then let the word of God bring forth fruit for you, for your kingdom, so that we can be full of joy, full of power, full of glory, not worrying, not fearing about the future, but just totally trusting in you and doing what you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, freedom from worry about the future.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 6, we'll be in again. We'll be starting in verse 19. So last week, Jesus taught us about how important it is that, well, he actually taught us and warned us against desiring the praise of men and looking for their approval as we fulfill our spiritual acts of service for the kingdom of God, or as we do the things that he's commanded us to do in our daily walk with him, in our own life and in the church, but instead that we're to do them for the right reasons, which is always simply not to draw attention to ourselves, but to bring glory to him. Amen? That's why what he taught us last week. But today, Jesus wants to teach us in the rest of Matthew chapter 6 how to find security for the future. The rest of this chapter is really about the future, being worry-free about the future. And he shows us how to conquer worrying about those daily things that we need to live on: food, clothing, shelter. He tells us, don't be like the heathens. Don't just focus on those things all the time. So as we proceed to follow him, he wants us to be totally worry-free. He wants to set us free so that we can focus on what he's called us to do. Because if you're just worrying about those temporary daily things all the time, it will literally consume your thoughts, it will consume your actions, and it's going to rob you from doing what God has called you to really do, what his plan and purpose is for your life. So he wants us to be free from worry about the future. So let's look at what Jesus teaches us. We'll start, like I said, we're in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay not up treasures where? On earth. On the earth. Well, he's not forbidding us to have a 401k, our retirement accounts, for our future. That's not what he's talking about. But what he's warning about us about is not to be greedy, not to just pile up worldly wealth for our own selfish purposes and desires. We see so many people in the world do that. We all know people in our lives, that that's what they've been consumed by. They've lost, like it says in Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil, and by it many people bring destruction to their life. How many people do you know who have, they have all their money, but they've lost their wife, they've lost their family, they've lost their children, they've lost their health, everything. It just brings destruction when you're consumed by that. That's why Jesus is saying, don't lay that up. Riches in themselves, they're not sinful, but the improper use of riches is a sin. He also tells us, don't store up earthly treasures. Why? Because there's no security in material things. Any type of material treasure on earth can be either destroyed by elements of nature or stolen by thieves. Jesus says the only investments that are not subject to the loss are treasures in heaven, which he tells us in the next verse. Let's listen to this. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves cannot break in and steal it. Hallelujah. Our spiritual treasures are secure and imperishable. Storing treasures in heaven, though, is not limited just to what we give in our monetary offerings, but it's accomplished how? It's accomplished by all our acts of obedience to God as we use whatever gifts and talents that he's given us to serve him. That's how we're storing up treasure in heaven. Look, you could have all the money in the world, you could have all the toys in the world, you can have all the things in the world, but guess what? You can't, when you leave this earth and die, you cannot take it with you. So there really is no need to be consumed with just storing those things up. It is important for us to have a job, to work, to support ourselves. I mean, Paul said in Thessalonians, you don't work, you don't eat. You know, so it's important to do that. That's not what he's talking about. And to provide a little bit for the future. But how awesome would it be if the entire body of Christ worked, was content with just the things that they need to live on, put that little bit of money away for the future so that, you know, when you if you decide to retire, you do have money to live off of, but gave all the rest of your money to bless the kingdom of God, to bless others and build the kingdom of God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine how much the church would grow, how many people would be saved and brought into the kingdom, and how much treasure you'll be storing up in heaven? Amen? Although, in Scripture, there is a sense in which giving our money to God's work is like investing in heaven. And that's what the Lord has really been speaking to me a lot lately, not only about Andrea and I's finances, but the finances for the church. You know, sometimes we worry about, oh, we got to make money, save up money, we're investing money so that we can keep the church going, which is, I believe, is good stewardship, and God wants us to do that, but we can't. When I first started doing that with the investment money, man, I'll tell you what, if you invest money and you watch the stock market, it'll make you nuts. I mean, if you try to follow it every day and figure it out, it would literally drive you crazy. Because it's just up and there's just no way to know about it. So what the Lord's been telling me is, look, be a wise steward of those things, but, you know, take your money that I give to your family, invest it in the kingdom of God, and even start investing more of the church money into souls, into the kingdom of God, into areas in the kingdom of God where I need you to use that money. Don't just worry about storing it up for now, because you're stored up in heaven. Use it for, invest in heaven. That's just the message. So basically, whatever God blesses us with here on earth should be invested in the treasures of heaven. And I believe the greatest treasures that we can store up in heaven are saved souls for Jesus. So wealth that's used for spreading the gospel and doing God's work is treasure, is how we lay up our treasure in heaven. Amen? And for people who are really blessed, I've always wanted to preach this verse. Those who are rich and blessed, actually, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 literally tells you what to do with your money. And a very strong word Paul uses. He doesn't say, if you feel like it, help others out. He uses the word command. I command the people that are rich to do this, he tells Timothy. Verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope not in such an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. See, so it's not evil if you know how to use it right. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share with others. In this way, they will store up for themselves a treasure which will be a solid foundation for the future. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And then they will be able to win the life which is true life. In other words, when you learn how to bless others and use the money that God gives you for the way that he wants you to use it, it'll set you totally free. It will just set you totally free from worry about the future. And then here in verse 21, he tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How many of you know how true that is? Jesus made it clear that having the wrong treasure leads to our hearts being in the wrong place. He wants absolute single-hearted devotion to him. He must be our supreme object of trust and love. What we treasure the most controls us, whether you want to admit it or not. Amen? Because that's all you'll think about. What you're treasuring, what you're hungry for, it will just consume you because that's all you'll think about. And we want God to consume us. We want to be consumed with God. We want to be consumed with his work, with his will, with his love, with his gospel. If possessions or money become too important to us, then we must reestablish control or get rid of some things, get rid of some items. Jesus calls for a decision that allows us to live contentedly with whatever we have. Why? Because we've chosen eternal values over the temporary. And that's what it comes down to. The eternal values over the temporary, over earthly treasures. Paul told us in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, you've been raised to life with Christ, so set your heart on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your mind fixed on things there, not on things on the earth. And back to Matthew 6, 22. And 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is simply talking about spiritual vision. Remember when we started off 2020, we said we want to have 2020 spiritual vision, right? 2020 spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do and to see the world from his point of view. That's what this verse is talking about. But our spiritual insight can be easily clouded, can be darkened by self-serving desires, interests, and goals that block the vision that God wants us to have. Serving God is the best way to restore your vision. A good eye, a healthy eye, is one that is fixed not on the things of the world, but fixed on God and fixed on Jesus. Amen? The bottom line here, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus says that we can only have one master. Look, we live in America, which is a super materialistic society. Many people not only serve money, but they worship money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it. To do what? Only to die and leave it behind to somebody else. I see some people have given inheritances. Their desire for money and what it can buy far outweighs their commitment to God and spiritual matters. Can we honestly say that God and not money is our master? Yes. Hope we can all say yes to that. One test is to ask ourselves, which one occupies more of your thoughts, your time, and your efforts? God alone deserves to be our master, amen? Either we will store our treasures with God, focus our eyes on Him, and serve Him alone, or else we do not serve Him at all. That's what Jesus is saying. The question is, where does our ultimate allegiance lie? We must choose this day whom we will serve. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15? This is what he said. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. He says, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or all the little gods of America, that's my own little translation there, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Amen. And remember, Satan tempted Jesus with the same thing, with riches and all the wealth of the earth. Remember that? And what did Jesus say? It says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and you shall serve Him only. Amen. Verse 25, Jesus says, therefore, this is my counsel to you. And this is still, I believe, talking about our daily needs and daily things that we need to survive, but it's more focused on future, not worrying about these things in the future. So like I said, none of us really struggle right now from day to day. Oh, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? But sometimes we do think, well, am I going to be all right 20 years from now? 30 years from now? Am I going to have enough money? Am I going to be able to have these things? But what does Jesus say? Don't worry about things, food, drink, and clothes, for you already have a life and body. And they are far more important than what you eat and wear. Look at the birds. They don't worry about what to eat. They don't need to sow or reap or store up food, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more important. You are far more valuable to Him than they are. Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothes? Look at the fields and the lilies. They don't worry about theirs. King Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as beautifully as they. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you, O people of little faith? So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Why be like the heathen? For they take pride in all these things, and they are deeply concerned about them. That's all they focus on. But your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them. Take comfort in that. Trust Him. Trust His love. Trust His wisdom. Trust His power for your life. And He will give them to you. If you seek the kingdom of God first in your life and His righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? To seek first the kingdom of God, what does that mean? And His righteousness. Well, it simply means we put Him first in everything in our life. We fill our thoughts with His desires. We live the way that He wants us to according to His word and His commandments. We serve Him and obey Him in everything. What's really important to us? People, objects, goals, and other desires, they all compete for priority in our life. And any of these can be quickly become the most important thing in our life if we don't actively choose to give God first place in every area of our life and do what He wants us to do. Verse 34, he ends with, so don't be anxious or don't worry about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Amen? So in those last verses, Jesus really lays out seven reasons not to worry. I'm just going to go through them real quickly. Verse 25, he said, isn't your life more important than just food and clothes? The same God who created you can be trusted with the details of your life. He knows our needs and he has the right job for us. And if we'll just keep doing our best and pray that it's blessed, then he will take care of the rest. Amen. Verse 26, worry. Worrying about the future hampers our efforts for today. This type of worry causes us to devote our finest energies to making sure that we'll have enough to live on in the future. Then before we know it, guess what? Our lives are gone, passed by, and we've missed the central purpose for which we were made. Let's not worry about the future. Don't let the future and worry about the future rob you of his plan for your life today. Amen? That's what he wants us to get. Instead, let's love him, worship him, trust him, and serve him and represent his interests here on earth. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. As he said in verse 27, is worrying going to add 1 minute to your life? Is worrying going to help you grow any at all? No. Like we just talked about, it actually does what? The total opposite. Instead of helping you in any way, it brings destruction. It doesn't add to your life. It actually takes years off of your life. Amen? Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the future. Worry also shows us a lack of faith and understanding of God. Remember in verse 32, he said, your heavenly Father, he's your heavenly Father, and he already knows what you need. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
Do we really have faith? Do we really understand that?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what he wants us to know. If not, then it shows that we have a lack of faith and understanding that he's our Father. We can trust his love, his wisdom, and his power to supply our every need. Amen. That's why he told us, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Keep seeking me. Keep seeking my kingdom. Keep doing what's right. I'll take care of the rest. Verse, then he says, living one day at a time, verse 34, don't be anxious about tomorrow. So many people worry about tomorrow and the next day. And half of the things are probably even more than that. 90% of the things they say that people worry about, guess what? They never, ever even happen. They never even come to fruition. It's just a trick of the devil. Don't worry. Don't let him bring doubt and worry and fear and anxiety into your life. Living one day, just live one day at a time, keeps us from being consumed with worry. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Right? We can trust him to help us. We don't have to try. Because, you know, a lot of us have those minds of reasoning, and we just try to think, and we're going to think it all out, and we're going to, you know, we're going to fix it all ourselves and get it all right, just right for the future. We can't do that. Live one day at a time. Walk with God one day at a time. Trust him for that day. And then if something, trial comes along or anything comes along, he's going to be right there beside us always to help us take care of it at that time. Don't get tricked. The trick of the devil is just to get your mind consumed with those things like that and thoughts like that so that you can't really see God. You can't focus on him. You can't hear from him because you're just always reasoning and thinking these things out for yourself. Amen? We don't want to be in that spot. In Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 32, where Luke records the same message that Matthew recorded that Jesus was teaching here, he says the same thing, but he adds a little something to it at the end that I really like. So let's just close with that. Luke 12, verses 29 through 32. He repeats the same things in the beginning. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 29. So don't always think about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. Don't worry about it. That's what all those people who don't know God are always thinking about. But your Father knows that you need these things. What you should be thinking about is His kingdom. Then He will give you all these other things that you need. He says, don't fear, little flock, for it is your Father's great pleasure to what? To give you the kingdom. More modern verse says, your Father wants you to share in everything that's in His kingdom with you. Isn't that awesome? He is an awesome God. He's an awesome Father. He's an awesome Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you so much for coming. Father God, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to live inside of us, to be our teacher. And as Jesus said, He would help us remember everything that Jesus says to us. So Holy Spirit, I pray today that you will help all of us to never forget these words that Jesus spoke to us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to help us be free from worry about the future. Lord, we give it to you. Help us to have great spiritual vision. We want to see your views. We want to see your ways. We want to know your desires and your will. Your will be done in our life. Not our will be done, but your will be done. Help us to store those treasures up in heaven. Help us to be wise stewards of the things you give us here, but to take that excess money that you give us and bless others and store up those treasures in heaven. Lord, we love you and praise you. And help us to remember the most liberating words that I can remember that I heard as the Holy Spirit taught me when I first met Jesus, when He taught me those words. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Wow, what a release, what freedom, what power there is in those words. So, Father, we just dedicate ourselves to seek you and your kingdom first, to always try to do what is right. We could never do that if it wasn't by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, Holy Spirit, help us to seek His kingdom first and always, not our kingdom, but to build His kingdom and His righteousness, which simply means to do what is right in His sight. Do what His word tells us to do. Obey Him in every way. Fill us with power. Jesus said we'd be filled with power from on high to be His witnesses and to be able to live that life of righteousness. We're no longer instruments of sin and wickedness, but we're now instruments of righteousness, tools of righteousness for God to use. We're ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors of reconciliation for Him. We are heirs and joint heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Him. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. And thank you for teaching us this incredible teaching and encouraging us and strengthening us and giving us power to move forward, to stay focused on your kingdom and your righteousness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.